Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence, Father, as You have said, in the last days You would shake not only the world, but heaven as well. You shook the world when You spoke to Thy Son, Jesus Christ, saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You shook the world when You spoke to the prophet Elijah. Yes, Father, You shook the universe when You said, "Let there be light," and Your word restored the void and the darkness that was created by the enemy. Now, once more, as we approach the last days, Father, being the inheritors of the saints of the first century, through whom You started the church of the living God, the foundation laid by the apostles. And as they prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken. As Paul and Silas prayed, the place where they gathered was shaken. And as we come in the last days, Father, to read from Thy word and to hear what is the truth which Thou dost want us to hear, we pray that You would speak to us and strengthen us and empower us. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank You, Father.
Hallelujah. As you turn on the radio and as you turn on the TV and you look at the news, very few people, very few pastors and prophets and evangelists all over the world are preaching about the rapture of the church. There is a lot of preaching about the blood of Jesus, which is one of the most important thing, the most important thing in our spiritual life, in our conversion, the blood of Jesus. There is preaching about the Holy Spirit. There is preaching about the water baptism. But there is not much preaching about the rapture. Now, we have to sit down and think why this is happening. In the first century, most of the messages were about the rapture. Every time the saints, the apostles preached, they always ended up with the rapture and they said, "Maranatha, Lord Jesus is coming soon." And the book of Revelation finishes with these words saying, "Behold, I am coming soon, and come, Lord Jesus." Jesus has died for our sins. He has risen again. He has baptized us with the Holy Spirit. We have received the water baptism. We are in the true church of the living God. Now, the most important thing, the climax of history, is the fact that we are going to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ and called and destined and travel in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I remember when I was 11 years old, when I gave my heart to Jesus, was water baptized, and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and would always keep reading the Word of God. When I went to sleep, I used to have dreams of me being taken up in the clouds, and I used to see other families in the clouds next to me. In fact, everybody had a cloud, and we were all going up to meet Jesus in the air. So, a few years back, I had a dream, and in the dream, it was full moon, and I saw a cloud. The interesting thing is that this cloud was different. When you travel in a plane, you have windows. This cloud even had windows. And the cloud told me, "I have come to take you home. The rapture is imminent. Tell your brothers the rapture is imminent." And then I have a classmate who went to school with me, Brother Darwin. And I said, "Brother Darwin, we have the full moon now. The cloud has come to take us home. The rapture is imminent. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Jesus is almost here. The trumpet is about to sound." Amen. And hallelujah. We have talked to many pastors, not in New Jerusalem Church, but outside New Jerusalem Church. And we have asked them, You know, a lot of people say that the doctrine in New Jerusalem Church is contrary to the Word of God. So we have sat with them and said, okay, show us from the Bible why it is contrary. And they don't know why it's contrary. They just say, well, so-and-so said so-and-so. Said that New Jerusalem Church doctrine is contrary. And then we explain to them, because we love them in the Lord, and we say, in the Bible it says in the Old Testament, I have written to them the great things of my law, and they were counted as a strange thing. Today, if you read from the Word of God and explain to people, this is what the Bible says, they will say it's a false doctrine. So I was in San Antonio, and the purchasing director met me at the coffee machine. And he said, Daniel, I think your doctrine is wrong. I said, okay, well, I understand what you're saying in plain English, but what is your doctrine? And he said, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. And I said, oh, okay, that's your doctrine. You know, I've always wanted to understand the scripture. Since you're a great Bible scholar and a purchasing director, could you make me understand what this verse means? And I told him, you know, in John 15 it says, if any man abideth not in me, and Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman, and you are branches. And I said, in John 15 it says, if any branch abide not in me, that branch will be cut out, and the sticks will be gathered and thrown into the fire. So could you explain to me what that verse means? He says, no, I don't want to explain, Daniel. I'm leaving. I'm very busy. Let me go. And I had my cousin. It's very interesting because God had already chosen the person that I was going to marry. And one day before the wedding, my cousin, who was unmarried, wanted to come and propose to me because she's well-educated, has a PhD in everything, and wanted to marry me. So they came and found out that my wedding was tomorrow, the next day. But she said she wants to talk to me because she heard that I'm preaching false doctrine. So I said, okay, wonderful, let's talk about it. So I told her, I'll give you a Bible. I'll have a Bible. It's going to be the same Bible I have in my hand. Now you have to hold the Bible and you have to promise in the presence of God that you believe this Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And she promised in the presence of God that she believes every word in the Bible. So I said, do you believe that every word in the Bible is the inspired word of God and was not written by man but by the Holy Spirit? And she said, yes, I believe it with all my heart. So we started talking. She asked questions and I gave her answers from the Word of God. And I told her, remember, everything I tell you is going to be from the Word of God. And you know, her father was a pastor in a great church, one of the global churches. So we came to a question and I said, the answer is in the book of Corinthians. And I read to her what the Word of God says. And when I mentioned to her, this is what the Bible says about that, she said, oh no, that is the opinion of Paul. I said, just now you told me, 5 minutes back, that you believe the Bible from cover to cover. And you said every word in the Bible is the inspired word of God. It was given by the Holy Ghost. And now you're saying it is Paul's opinion. So what you said 5 minutes back is not the truth. So our discussion has ended. Because you have reneged on your promise in God's presence that every word in the Bible is the infallible word of Almighty God. Now, we have been in New Jerusalem Church and we still are. And I know that in San Antonio, when we had a church, New Jerusalem Church, with a building footprint, that was in south of San Antonio, and we were among the Catholics, and all of them used to come to church, and their group had a witch doctor. And she said, "Today Pastor Daniel is going to be dead." And she was a famous witch in south of San Antonio, and she said nobody had been able to survive when she had decided that a person should die, and she was powered by evil spirits. So we were worshiping, and she entered the church, New Jerusalem Church, with her spell, and she had something covered with a piece of cloth in her hand. And as she put her right foot into the church, she stumbled and fell prostrate on the floor. She was there on the floor. We didn't pick her up. And we told the entire subdivision, "We are children of Almighty God. We don't fear anything. You can bring a loaded gun and shoot at us, and the bullet will not leave the gun. Even if it leaves the gun, there are angels before us that will stop the bullets." And then there was a lady in the church, and she started crawling like a snake, because it was through that lady that that witch doctor wanted to kill me. And so the Holy Spirit said, "Don't say anything. Take the Holy Bible in your hand and advance with the sword, the word of God, towards that lady." So I told the people around that lady, "Hold that lady, because she is going to fall to the floor." Because she had been crawling like a snake, and she got up and sat on the chair. And so as I advanced towards the lady, she crashed to the floor. But because the people were holding her, they were able to gently drop her to the floor. And then I held the Word of God, the Holy Bible, over her and read the apostles' authority, saying that we have power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt her. And the demon went out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And that entire subdivision understood that these are not ordinary people. They are true Christians. They are powered by the Word of God. So why do I say this? Remember I said when I advanced with the Bible, a demon-possessed lady crashed to the floor? Satan is afraid, terrified of the Holy Bible. Satan respects the Holy Bible more than most of the so-called pastors and prophets in this world. The Bible tells us in the book of James, "Do you believe there is one God? Awesome. The devils also believe and tremble." Why do the devils believe and tremble? Because the Word of God has creative power. The Word of the children of God has also creative power, because God lives inside us. Today, we have approached many pastors outside New Jerusalem Church, and we have asked them, because they said New Jerusalem Church is preaching a false doctrine, which they couldn't prove, because everything we say is from the Holy Bible. And so we've asked many pastors outside the church. Now, this message is not to put down any pastors outside the church, but this message is to correct and to explain that New Jerusalem Church, regardless of what everybody preaches, is going to preach the infallible Word of God. We are not afraid of any army. We are not afraid of any devil. We are not afraid of Lucifer. We are not afraid of people that would try to chop our heads. We just don't care. We are not afraid. We are fearless, because God Almighty is with us. So we asked many pastors who told us that we are preaching false doctrine baselessly. If Jesus comes right now, will you be taken up in the rapture? Let's get to the point that I understand you are accusing New Jerusalem Church of false doctrine. But let me ask you a question. If Jesus appears right now, his trumpet sounds right now, will you be taken up in the rapture, Pastor? And they were stunned. I saw their face. The face was writhing in pain. These are pastors, mega church pastors. And they said, "I don't know." And we told them, if you don't know that you will be taken up in the rapture when the trumpet sounds right now, what about the millions and millions of people that are following you? What about them? If a blind lead the blind, both of them will fall into the pit. So let's get back to the basics. In Matthew 28, Jesus explained the meaning of the word gospel. Gospel means go spell it out. In Acts chapter 1, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus explained what the word gospel is. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, Acts 1, 2, Jesus, after his resurrection, taught his disciples all the commandments in the Holy Bible. Why did Jesus stay for 40 days in the world after his resurrection? Because he did not have time to teach his disciples all the commandments. And so he stayed for 40 days and taught the apostles. Only 11 of them were left. His commandments. And then, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, and Peter stood up by the power of the Holy Ghost and preached the gospel. And then the Catholics came, and they watered down the gospel. They took control of all denominations, and Pope pronounced himself God Almighty, or the substitute for God Almighty, Vicarius Filii Dei, which means substitute for the Son of God, which all adds up to 666. It was a mystery, but no more. And I think it was around the 16th century or the 14th century where King James ordered that the Bible be translated from Greek into English. At the same time, God sent Martin Luther, and he said, the just shall live by faith. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ, not through traditions and works and doing stuff like Hindus and Buddhists. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ. All our works are filthy rags. All our righteousness are filthy rags in the sight of God. Hallelujah. It is only through the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Not through Mohammed, not through Buddha, not through Krishna. Even they will not be saved without the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In the Hindu scriptures, in the Rigu, Samu, Ajurveda, because Hindu scriptures are one of the oldest scriptures next to the by second to the Bible. It says, Prajapati Devi Payam Atmanam Yaknam Kritva Prayashittam. That's in Sanskrit. That God will come in the form of man and give his life as salvation for many. And then Purusha Sukta, one of the holy books of the Hindus, it says, Nanya Nanya Ayanaya Vidyate, which means that good works will not save you. Only God who shed his blood will save you. So, if you take the Quran and actually read it, it says that Jesus Christ is Almighty God and the Holy Bible is the Word of God. Well, they subvert and hide that so that they can preach, because even though a fallen angel gave the Quran, the fallen angel could not but confess that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Just like the evil spirits that told Jesus, Thou art Christ, the Son of the Living God. Many Hindus have been brought to Christianity because demons have told them that Jesus is the only true God. So, Apostle Paul preached the Word of God. Apostle Peter preached the Word of God. The Catholics diluted and messed it up. The Pope covered it up. And God sent Martin Luther, and he said, it's only through belief, faith in the blood of Jesus, that you will be saved. And then Calvin came after Martin Luther and said, the day of restoration has started. The day of restoration to what the early church believed and what Jesus Christ preached. And Calvin said, yes, the blood of Jesus Christ is the most important thing. But the Bible also says, you have to be immersed and baptized with water. Martin Luther and Calvin had a big disagreement, but Calvin prevailed. And Martin Luther started the Lutheran Church. Calvin started the Baptist Church. And then, in USA, Assemblies of God were praying in the 18th century. And suddenly they received the power of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And God started working signs and wonders and miracles. And until then, a little past the second century, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was not understood because the Pope covered it up. And in the 18th century, the power of God came down on the Assemblies of God people. And then they spoke in tongues. And God did signs and miracles. And a great evangelism started all over the world, to where evangelists were sent all over the world. And great men of God like D.L. Moody and John Wesley and Billy Sunday and Charles G. Finney, filled by the Holy Spirit, came. And Knox, by whom Knoxville in Tennessee is named, they all came filled and powered by the Holy Spirit, and they cleaned up this world. So see how God restored the truth through Martin Luther, through Calvin, through the Assemblies of God. However, the entire truth that Jesus spoke in the first century and the message that God spoke through the apostles was not restored. But in the last days, because pastors were not willing to share the truth for fear that they would lose their job and lose their congregation, God raised up New Jerusalem Church to preach the complete truth in the Word of God. We collected all the fragments that are being preached in all the churches, nothing new, all in the Word of God, collected and compiled them and told them, this is the church, this is the building. So, what is the gospel that we are preaching? Why do people say that New Jerusalem Church is preaching a wrong doctrine? Because we believe in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Let's read Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus told his disciples, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, in verse 18. Go ye therefore, and do what? Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So he says, go preach to them. Teach them the Word of God. The word teach occurs two times in verse 19 and 20. Baptize them. There are a lot of doctrines saying blood of Christ alone is enough. Baptism is not necessary. Holy Spirit is not necessary. Church is not necessary. Those are all wrong doctrines that came from the pits of hell. Blood of Jesus Christ is important. Baptism is important. Holy Spirit baptism is important. And the church is important. But the thing that the churches forgot and the pastors don't teach, Jesus said, go and teach them. Teach what? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Today the doctrine is, just go tell them about the blood of Jesus, baptism, Holy Spirit. That's it. Don't go any further. We're all going to go to heaven. We'll figure it out there. Don't worry about the commandments of God. Then, the question. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, from 1, Acts 1 verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. This is Dr. Luke, an associate of Paul, writing to Theophilus, one of the kings in that region. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. What was Jesus doing on earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead? Why didn't he ascend to the Father? Because he had to give commandments. Jesus gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. These are the commandments that Peter and Paul, and Jesus appeared one more time to Apostle Paul, as he has written in the scriptures, and Jesus appeared to all his apostles and gave them commandments, and those were the commandments that they gave to the church. And these were all amplification of the commandments in the Old Testament, which is a mirror, a shadow of the real person, Jesus Christ. And so, the day of Pentecost came, and in Acts 2:38, starting 2:38, Peter digested all the commandments that Jesus gave and explains to the people, because when Peter preached, they all cried out saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved?" And Peter didn't say, "Raise your hands and come to the front." Peter didn't say, "Just pray this prayer, it'll all be over." This is what Peter said. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Their question is, what shall we do to be saved from the wrath to come? "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." That is the first thing. Repentance. Do you really want to be delivered from your sins? That is called repentance. Turning your back to the world and saying, "I want to be a different person. I'm sorry for the things that I have done." Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, when the jailer, late in the night, when he got converted, he and his family were baptized immediately. Why didn't they wait a week? Why didn't they wait a month? Because Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." That is very interesting. Baptism for the remission of sins? That's what it says here. It says that you can confess your sins. You can ask for Jesus to forgive your sins. But the Bible says in the New Testament that unless you obey God in the waters of baptism, your sins will not be washed. And that is repeated throughout the scripture. Washing away your sins in the waters of baptism, not washing away your filth of your flesh, but washing away the sins. And it again says, in the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved with water, even as now baptism saves us. In Titus 3:6 it says, we are saved by the washing of water and the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. So why did Peter say, "Repent and be baptized"? Why didn't he say, "Just raise your hand"? Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost." And in Mark 16, he says, "He that believeth and baptized shall be saved." So, those who are pastors in this world of mega churches should quit thinking that blood of Jesus Christ is everything. Saying a prayer is everything. They need to understand that there is a process for salvation. There is a process for everything. A seed doesn't become a plant. A plant doesn't become a tree instantaneously. the seed has to die. And Jesus gave the process of restoration, salvation. First is repentance. Second is baptism with water. Third is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is why John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But there cometh one after me whose shoes I am not worthy to loose. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And if you read the book of Acts, no one was recognized as accepted into the church until they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When Peter was accused of preaching to the Gentiles, he said, well, all I can tell you is the household of Cornelius, I preached, I baptized them with water, but God gave them the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. And that is a sign that God accepted them, and they were said, the disciples said, then they were happy that God had given them repentance unto life. So what did Jesus teach in Matthew 28 and in Acts 1-2? The commandments that Jesus taught for 40 days is not written in Acts 1-2, because it was written in the hearts of the apostles. And Peter said, repent, be baptized, you will receive the Holy Ghost. And then he said one thing, save yourself from this untoward generation. Separation from this world needs to happen. We cannot repent, confess our sins, be water baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then mingle with the world. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Separation from the world. Save yourself from this untoward generation that is contrary to the word of God. And then it says that they that received his word were baptized. They didn't raise their hands and come to the front, although that might have happened, which is good. Confessing in public is important. But they immediately baptized, public confession, baptized with water. And the Bible says they were added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking of bread and prayers. And then it goes on to say, praising God and having favor with all the people. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the church of the living God is important, where we all grow into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where we get the real comfort of the Holy Spirit. So in the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, last chapter, but thou go thy way, Daniel 12:13. But now go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of the days. In the Old Testament, rest for the saints were when they died. In the New Testament, rest for the saints is when the old man dies and we repent, we are washed by the blood of Jesus, obey God in the waters of baptism, filled with the Holy Spirit, and joined into the church of the living God. Today, I talk to a lot of Christians, and they don't have rest in their life. They don't have the complete peace of God in their life, because the true gospel is that you have to be repent, washed by the blood of Jesus through the waters of baptism, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Separate yourself from this worldly generation. Be joined in the church of the living God. Abide in the church and obey the word of God. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates into the city. Again, we know in Isaiah chapter 28, 11, 12, 13, Isaiah 28:11-12, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. So our soul was disturbed, our spirit was disturbed, our body was disturbed. God brought us into this rest through repentance, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit, separation from this world, and joining into the church of the living God. That is why Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." I notice many people tell me, "Why are you so cool? Why are you so quiet? Why are you so calm? Look, everything that is happening." That is the rest that we possess when our salvation confirms with the Word of God. Not only asking pastors, "Are you ready now?" If the trumpet sounds right now and they are shocked. I've asked pastors and many people who call themselves believers, "Are you sure that you're saved?" And they say, "Well, you know, the pastor told me that I'm saved because, you know, I repented from my sins." Well, why don't you have that assurance? The problem is the entire Christian community in the world, almost all of them have departed from the Word of God. So this is salvation according to the New Testament. Repentance from sins, water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Spirit, separation from the world, and being joined unto the church of the living God, and growing into the image and stature of Christ. And it starts with Ephesians 4, "God gave apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we all be one body in Christ, growing into him, the head, and not be swayed by any doctrine that is contrary to the Word of God." Yes, we believe the Bible from cover to cover. This is not the voice of man. This is the voice of Almighty God. And every promise in the Bible, every word in the Bible belongs to us. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If the trumpet sounds right now, all three of us, Brother Jose, Max, and Pastor Daniel, all three of us will be taken up.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are not talking about imagination. We are talking about the promise of God, and the Holy Spirit within us confesses us to be the sons of Almighty God. We call Abba Father. We are chosen to be the bride of Christ. And God confirms it to us every minute, every second. And we welcome everyone who's chosen and ordained to be part of the Church of the Living God, to join the Church of the Living God, because we preach the Word of God. We are not worried about our job. We are not worried about our life. We are not worried about our future. We will preach the Word of God, and God will bring a great revival, not only in USA and all over the world. And the Democrats, the Demorats, and demons, and witches, and all the sons of Lucifer, and all the demons in this world and the universe need to understand that we are the Church of the Living God, New Jerusalem. We are the sons of Almighty God, and we have power and authority over you, and we will crush you under our feet, even as the Word of God says, "It shall bruise thy heel. He shall bruise thy heel, but it shall crush his head." Who is the "it"? It is the body of Christ, the Church of the Living God. So very soon, we need to tell the church what is going to happen and the rest of the world. Revelation 12 is about to happen. The church is going to appear in all its glory. There is going to be war in heaven. Right now we have war with principalities and powers. but there is going to be a full-fledged war. The devil Satan is not actually in hell, like many people think. The devil Satan is in heavenly places. We war against principalities and powers in heavenly places, as in Ephesians 6. And whenever the Church of the Living God prays, the devil tries to stop it. But the prayer that goes with power as the Church of the Living God, the enemy in heavenly places sees it and they move away because they are going at the speed of light to the throne of God with great power. And that enemy that is in heavenly places is going to be cast down. Why? Because Revelation 12 says, the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. So that is going to happen. Once that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed, as in the book of Thessalonians. And then the church will be protected and the trumpet will sound. Before that, we have a great ministry. God is going to manifest His power in USA and all over the world. We are not the only ones. God has chosen people all over the world, destined to be part of the body of Christ. And the church, the living body, the heavenly Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, will shake this world and the universe, because there is power in the Word of God. There is more power in the Holy Bible which we hold in our hand than the power in the atoms. There is more power in the Holy Bible which we hold in our hand than the electrons and protons and neutrons. May God bless these words and strengthen us, for the same power that raised Christ from the dead abides in us. Let us enjoy this rest and joy in the presence of God. Continue to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God will be like salt, it will be like light, and it will bring light to the whole world. Even as in the book of Genesis, God said, let there be light. Let's thank God for the restoration, for bringing the Word of God and opening our eyes. And let us continue to go forward as the army of God, written in the book of Joel. Praise God. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us.